Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Day, Minister of Trust, our Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, 9,000 to 12,000, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 4, 2016, or it is April 1, 2020. This is the new moon Sabbath of the fifth month. We're going to start this service today with a song entitled, Softly and Tenderly, Yahshua is Calling. Softly and tenderly, Yahshua is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Here I really come home. Endlessly, tenderly, Yahshua is calling, calling for a sinner. Come home. Why should we tarry when Yahshua is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercy? Mercy's for you and for me. Come home, come home. Here I really come home. Endlessly, tenderly, Yahshua is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, death days are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are really come home. And if they tenderly, Yahshua is calling, calling for a sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promise for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home. Here are we, come home. Endlessly, tenderly, Yahshua is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Isaiah 24, behold, I make all things new. Part 10. We're reading from the White House Recruiter, page 33, but we're going to read Isaiah 24 for a prayer thought. Okay, it says, behold, the Yahweh maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury unto him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Yahweh has spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languishes and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled on the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the law, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The new wine mourneth, the vine languishes, all the merry hearted do sigh. The mirth of Tabris ceases, the noise of them that rejoices endeth, the joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with a song, a strong drink shall be bitter unto them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. And the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. And thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the greening grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of Yahshua, and they shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Yahshua and the fires, even the name of the Yahweh Elohim of Israel in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously, yea. The treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. It shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare, for the windows from on high are open. And the foundations of the earth be shaken. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it. And it shall fall, and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahshua shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Yahshua of the host shall reign on Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. Okay, now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 4. That's a compatible chapter to Isaiah 24. It says that, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Yahweh, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. Okay, so yes, that was the admonition he is given to the Adventists in 2002 at Kermit. It says, and thou shalt swear, the Yahweh liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Yahweh unto the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves unto the Yahweh, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense city. Set up the standard toward Zion, retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north, and a great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Yahweh is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Yahweh, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, Ah, Yahweh Elohim, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people. And Yahweh saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reaches unto the soul. At that time shall it be said unto this people and unto Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariots shall be as a whirlwind, and his horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? For a voice declareth from Dan, and publisheth affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention unto the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Yahweh. Now do you see where we have all these Muslims that has come from the east, come to our land? Because the Adventists and the Davidian Adventists have let down their guard. So it says, make ye mention to the nation. Behold, publish against Jerusalem that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith Yahweh. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reaches unto thine heart. My bowels, my bowels. I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are snottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved. What does it mean that the heavens, and they had no light? It means these here 12 heavens that's in our atmosphere around us and our solar system that belongs to these other 11 planets. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of Yahweh and by his fierce anger. For thus hath Yahweh said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make it full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into the thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou closest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rendest thy face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee, they will seek thy life. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion, that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is weary because of murderers. Okay, that ends Jeremiah chapter 4. Behold, I make all things new. We're going to continue on where we left off from our last study. And that is page 33 now, the White House Recruiter. Let's do just a little review from our last study. It says, consequently, it is to be expected that now, more than ever before, all of us are to meet with the fiercest opposition. The so-called great men have not so much even as a spark of divine light, will, acting like madmen, hastily spread confusion everywhere. This they will do by engendering prejudice, by exalting baseless theories, by fabricating and propagating falsehood, by hurling scorn and ridicule, by mongering gossip and hearsay, and by engaging in character assassination. But none of this will faze those whose fortress is the Yahweh, and who heed his priceless, precious, inspiring counsel in the following passages. Do not be unbelieving. The more you are jostled, misapprehended, misstated, misrepresented, the more evidence you have that you are doing a work for the Master, and the more closely you must cling to your Savior. Testimony, Volume 8, page 130. All who in that evil day would faithfully serve Yahweh according unto the dictates of the conscience will need courage, firmness, and a knowledge of the Elohim and His Word. For those who are true to Elohim will be persecuted, their motives will be impugned, their best efforts misinterpreted, and their name cast out as evil. Gospel Workers, page 264. The wrath of man shall praise thee, says the psalmist. The remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. Elohim means that testing truth shall be brought to the front and become a subject of the examination and discussion, even if it is through the contempt placed upon it. For the minds of the people must be agitated. Every controversy, every reproach, every slander will be Elohim's means of provoking inquiry and awakening minds that otherwise would slumber. Testimony, Volume 5, page 453. Everything that can be done against Elohim's message of the day will be done with even a greater vengeance than was manifest against heaven's message in the days of Yahshua, the first advent. For the devil knows that if he loses now, he loses forever, that he is to have no other chance, unparalleled. Therefore, in the urgency that every 11th hour church member now quickly and solidly brace themselves against the enemy's effort to deliver a knockout blow, we must be alert to realize that the blow is to come from the surprisingly unsuspected foe. from the professed friends of the gospel who are no less pious than were preached in the Yahshua's day. It is moreover but to be expected that the adversary will employ every agency possible to prevent the Yeshua from disclosing to view his now obscure 144,000 first fruit servants who are to go gather in the second fruits, Revelation 7:9. The enemy will try everything conceivable to confuse, becloud, and cover up the truth, especially on the subject of the 144,000. For these 144,000 servants of Yahweh being the first increments of the harvest are called first fruits. And as all of them are of all the tribes of the children of Israel, Revelation 7:4, they are therefore necessarily harvested from the Israel of today. The church itself, whereas the great multitude which no man can number are gathered, subsequently from all nations, Revelation 7:9, over whom the harlot Babylon the Great then reigns. Her reigning is symbolically shown by her riding, ruling the scarlet-colored bee. The next and last symbol of this world, Revelation 17:18-1-4, he's called out once are unmistakably the second fruits, for the law of the number is that for there to be a first, there must follow a second. So through the medium of the 144,000 first fruit servants, the 12th hour ministry, I'm putting the 12 in the place of the 11th that brought us the B.T. Holofast here. The spirit of the Elohim will cause the three angels' messages to swell to a loud cry during the harvest by these 12th hour laborers called at the end of the 11th hour. That fifth group of laborers is pointed out in Matthew 20, verse 6, and will garner in the sheaves of the good from the fields of sin all over that great multitude of second fruits who have not as yet heard of Elohim's fame nor seen his glory, Isaiah 6:6-19-20. What an august privilege, brethren, would not he who would scorn it for whatever deserved to die a beggar by the bargain, with a completed judgment message during the 12th parabolic hour. I know it says the 11th hour here again, but with the completed judgment message during the 11th hour, and this is truly Brother Johnson, that's what he named his message, the Isaac Branch, he called it the judgment hour message as well. So, with the completed judgment hour message that the Brother Johnson had during the 11th hour, the angels are to separate the people of the Elohim from the people of the world, and precisely this inspiration long ago declared. Now, I'm going to read this to you again. This is very important. It says, with the completed judgment hour message by the Brother W. Johnson from 1970 to 2003, during the 11th parabolic hour, the angels are to separate the people of Yahweh from the people of the world. Precisely this inspiration long ago declared. And so, Vernus W. Johnson, his message was, the hour of his judgment is come to start the judgment of the living. The judgment of the dead is over. We are now entering into the judgment of the living. And he wrote information on that. He said, we've entered into all seven. Okay. So now, this is exactly what happened. But it says, judgment begins at the house of Yahweh. Well, every time the Adventists moved from one feeding pasture to another, they had a judgment message. They always had the hour of his judgment has come for that feeding pasture. So what happened when Jones and Wagner came on the scene in 1888 with the message of righteousness by faith? It was a judgment hour message. They had 2 years to come in line with it and line up with it, to learn what that meaning of that message, learn the new meaning of the message, righteousness by faith. Then they would have found out, if they had gone on to understood it completely, they'd have found out that it's righteousness by faith in the blood of the Yeshua. That pure and simple. But we know what happened in 1890, that probation closed on Bashan, the feeding pasture of Bashan, the first feeding pasture for the Adventists, this side of the Jordan. All right. Now the second feeding pasture, it just so happened, Yahweh in His mercy had mercy upon the Adventist church. And so He called for the prophecy to put Judah in the place there in 1890 to have a spiritual fast for 40 years. So the Adventists took a 40-year hiatus. They were judged in 1890, those that rejected Jones and Wagner's message, they were judged as unfit. They were cut off. But nevertheless, they had a 40-year period of time to reflect on what happened in 1888 and 1890. They had a 40-year period. Meanwhile, Yahweh was purifying the message and getting ready to start a new feeding pasture with V.T. Holler and the rod, the shepherd rod, and He did. And so that feeding pasture had an allocated 40-year period. And so when that 40-year period started coming to an end, guess what? As it was in 1888, they were given a 2-year moratorium to understand what that message was, righteous by faith. Just so in 1968, a 2-year moratorium, the Davidians were given a 2-year period to investigate Lotus W. Johnson and his creation calendar and what he was teaching as the truth concerning the branch. They had a 2-year period. In 1968 to 1970. And we know what happened there. Judgment closed for the Mount Carmel feeding pasture and opened up anew for Mount Zion at the 11th hour at the Isaac Branch, the Gilead Center's feeding pasture, Mount Gilead. So judgment closed for those that didn't accept Brother Johnson's message, and it opened up as Brother Johnson. And what was Brother Johnson's preamble? He says, "We have arrived at the judgment of the living time." Ezekiel 9, he wrote it. He says, "This is the beginning of the judgment for the living." And it says, "It starts with the ancient men for the house, and lo and behold, Ben Roden was the last man in charge of the candlestick of Laodicea." So it starts at his house. And sure enough, prophecy proved that Ben Roden and his house was cut off and destroyed. Ultimately destroyed off the face of the earth by a fire. That's what Yahweh thought about those that brought the 40-year period of Mount Carmel to a close. They wouldn't accept a new message to step into the new feeding pasture, and so they were cut off and ultimately died and destroyed and died in their sin. Okay. Now, Brother Stephen Johnson had 33 years to fulfill what I just read to you right here. And I'll read it to you again. With the completed judgment hour message by the Brother Stephen Johnson during the 11th parabolic hour in the Kermit, Texas at Gilead Center from 1970 to 2003, the angels are to separate the people of Yahweh, there at Gilead Center, from the people of the world. And precisely this inspiration long ago declared. Okay, it says, and precisely this inspiration long ago declared, I then saw the third angel, said my accompanying angel, fearful in his work, awful in his mission. He is the angel that is to select the wheat from the tares and seal or bind the wheat for the heavenly garner. These things that should engross the whole mind and the whole attention And B.T. Hotter was quoting Ellen G. White from earlier writings, page 118 on that. Consequently, all who respond to the Spirit's call now at this late hour, now notice he didn't call it the last hour, he said this late hour. Well, you don't get hardly much later than the 11th hour. Okay, because there's only 1 hour left, and that's allocated for the harvesting of everything that took place in the first 11 hours. Alright, so it says, consequently, all who respond to the Spirit's call now at this late parabolic hour of the 11th hour will acutely realize that they have no time to waste on getting and spending and laying waste their powers. So, when Yahweh in His mercy sent a message to Willis W. Johnson, July 14, 2002, letting him know that the only thing he could do at that time was to repent and to call an emergency meeting and call the church in and say, we got a crisis. That's exactly what I told him. And listen to the message from heaven as I had delivered it unto him. It says, this is what this prophecy was for, to him directly. No time to waste or anything. Their only goal will be to finish the task assigned them by him who has caused them to go work in the vineyard. They will be fully conscious that there is a city prepared for them, a city whose builder and maker is Yahweh, and that ere long therein their whole being shall thrill to the triumphant acclaim. Now who is this? The house of David. This is the ones that are to take the place of those that were called to repent at the end of the 11th hour at Gilead Center. The house of David was just about to be born. Matter of fact, it was being born. This is what it talks about in Isaiah 66. This talks about a nation being born at once. Let's go read it. In Isaiah 66, verse 8, how many times Brother Johnson read this to us over the years? One of his favorite scriptures. He says, who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. So Zion travailed at Trumpet, Texas, 2010. Then it says in verse 9, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith the Yahshua. What shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Saith the Yahshua. Or saith the Yahweh. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Alright, so it says rejoice. Because that nation is born at once. Let's see if we can find a cross reference on this. And it might even take us back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, I don't know. But let's see what happens. Well, let's just forego that and let's just continue on with our study. We're on page 35. For the mighty Elohim, even the Yahweh, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, Elohim hath shined. Our Elohim shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by the sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness. For Yahweh is judge himself, Selah. Psalms 50, verse 1 to 6. Great is the Yahweh, and greatly to be praised is the city of our Elohim, and the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great king, Yahweh, is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there. and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou purchased the ships of Tarshish with an east wind, and as we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Yahweh's, of the Yahshua the host, in the city of Elohim. Elohim will establish it forever, Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O Yahweh, in the midst of thy temple, according unto thy name, O Yahweh. So is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgment. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this Elohim is our Elohim forever and ever. Now he will be our God even unto death. Psalms 48:1-14. Because time and the gospel are at the climatic hour, and the work is consequently of the transcendent scope, expansion, and importance, yet of the exceeding short duration, Elohim has inspired man to invent and build time and labor, a saving, wonder-working, earth-mastering tools, and machinery of all kinds, marvel which would have staggered the imagination and beggared the credulity of the former generation. Notwithstanding that centuries aforehand, the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, Isaiah 57:15, declared, but thou, O Daniel, set up the words and sealed the book even to the time of the end, and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased, Daniel 12:4. Alright. I remember one day, I'm going to put this on record, when I was visiting the King Seventh Day Adventist Church when I was living down there in the 70s and 80s, I was in the church one afternoon there at King, Texas. The church is a big church, it holds about 2,000 people, and it was always full on Sabbath morning. They had a loft there, and they even had people up in the loft. But anyway, they had an afternoon forum about 4 o'clock, and I went to it, and the moderators, the leaders of the King Church, they had a program that afternoon to ask people in the congregation if they had a favorite verse that they wanted to read from the Bible. And so if they did, they'd have somebody hand them a microphone. And so they had this Morris Lewis was a preacher. He was my teacher in college when I went down there. He was my Bible teacher. And then he was my minister after I joined the Adventist Church in another town, and he became the minister there. So Morris Lewis and I were very close, good friends. I used to go harvest and gathering with him for about 4 years in a row. I went harvest and gathering with Morris Lewis there at the end of the year. Anyway, we were good friends. We well wanted each other, but when I joined this Willis W. Johnson, he turned against me. He called me an old hated offshoot, them old shepherd rod. But anyway, I was a thorn in their side there at the Adventist Church, and then there's Morris Lewis sitting very close to me, and he had a microphone to offer to anybody that wanted to quote a special verse. And so I raised my hand, and he handed me the microphone, much to his chagrin. And I quoted this Isaiah 57:15, what I just got through reading to you. And I'm going to read it to you again. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You could have heard, it's like a death call over the congregation. And the preacher just reached up and took the phone out of my, the microphone out of my hand, and never said nothing. He just took it away from me. No comment was made, nothing. And so this is what I'm talking about, bringing judgment upon the Adventist Church. That's what was going on. Okay, let's continue our study. Now we're on page 36 of the White House Recruiter. It says, the fact that this pillar of the kingdom thus stands fully open to view now for the first time since Yahshua uttered it is indisputable evidence in itself that the stroke of the 11th hour, and when it says the stroke, it's talking about the 11th hour about to strike the show where it is over, is about to be heard even to the four points of the compass. Okay, so now VTR is thinking that the 11th hour is your last hour, and it's just about to be over. My goodness. And he wrote this in 1951. My goodness. I mean, that's a long time ago. Alright. At least over 65 years ago. This event will signalize the great fact that his last group of servants are disclosed to view to the whole world. Glorious disclosure. This last group is your 12th hour workers in the 12th hour. How does this truth find the latest in the last of the seven churches in which are commingled the wheat and the tares, the sheep and the goats, the good fish and the bad? Alas, in that attitude of self-complacency, imagining themselves rich and in need of nothing, whereas in tragic truth, Yahshua emphatically declares that they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, in need of everything, and yet unwitting of their perilously appauvertized plight, Revelation 3:14-18. They are even destitute of the knowledge that the judgment of the living, not of the dead, is the last message, and that only those who give ear unto the 11th hour call, and remember now, that's at the end of the 11th hour, for the calling for the laborers to go to work in the 12th hour. I have some new light also on that. We'll talk about that a little later. Are to be stirred in the separation and to make up the last group of servants with the last message, and hitherto blind all of us laid us in. Now, what is the VTR stating here? I'm going to read that to you again. They are even destitute of the knowledge that the judgment of the living, well, then Rhoda Johnson said the judgment of the living started in 1970 with him. V.T. Hollis said it started in 1930 with him. And V.T. Hollis is 1951 is telling the Adventists, it says, you're destitute of the knowledge of the judgment of the living. It's been going on now since 1930 and you don't even know it. Well, V.T. Hollis, Brother Johnson said in 2002, 2003, the judgment of the living has been going on for 33 years and the Adventists still don't know it. And the Davidians don't know it. But he was wrong too. V.T. Hollis was wrong. So he says, they are even destitute of the knowledge that the judgment of the living and not of the dead is the last message. This message is progressive, and so it progresses way all the way through the Davidian world, starting with the Shepherd God 1930. This message of judgment of the living being taught prematurely, and all the way through up to 2003, being taught prematurely by its leaders. Okay. Well, see, that they are even destitute, the Seventh-day Adventists, so I could truly now quote this in the present tense right now and say anybody up to this point to this very day. Backwards, they are even destitute of the knowledge that the judgment of the living, not of the dead, is the last message, and that includes Alan DeLong even up to this very day. He is completely destitute of the knowledge that the judgment of the living, not of the dead, is the last message. Because of Alan DeLong said that he and his wife now has the last message. And they got a different name for it. They got Yasha and Yasharon as the name of their message, which is nothing but a sacred name. That's not a message. And that only those who give ear to the 11th hour call, that's talking about We're going to upgrade that now since we're in the 12th hour. Those that give ear to the 12th hour call are to be spared in the separation. So the five wise virgins gave heed in 2002 of that 11th hour call. They gave heed to it. And so we were spared in the separation of Gilead Sin of 2003. We were spared in that because we gave heed, we gave ear to the 11th hour call and to make up the last group of the servants. So by giving ear to that last call there at the closing of the 11th hour, we were put in charge then of the last message. How hitherto blind all of us led a sin. Now here be the heart of a sin. Us. He's including himself. He's including the Davidians. When he says us, it's a pronoun, it's a plural pronoun. He's saying Adventist, because he said I'm a part of the Adventist church, so I'm including myself in this. Hitherto blind all of us led a sin. Now, see, Vicky Howder, he's not aware that every word is weighed for what it sounds like. And that word us included him, and all the time he was claiming at the same time that we're bringing this new life to the Adventists that they weren't aware of at the judgment of the living. And all the same time he's saying, he's including, we including myself and blind to it. And he was right. He was blind to it. And Ben Roden was blind to it. Brother Johnson was blind to it. And yet they all taught the judgment of the living, that they were the head of it, that they were teaching and pointing their message back to the Seventh-day Adventists. How accurate the Yeshua's diagnosis, how grave the condition. Let all of us, immediately, therefore, the more earnestly ask ourselves a solemn question. When finally the judgment passes from the dead unto the living, thus outmoding by the expiration the initial phase of the first angel's message, the judgment of the dead, what time of truth will the Seventh-day Adventist Church then have for herself and for the world? Well, since the Seventh-day Adventist Church is no longer in charge of the first angel's message, or the second or third, but it had passed on to Vicky Hall, been in charge of all three of those angels. So who is Vicky Hall talking to here? So he could very well use that word us again. When finally the judgment passes from the dead into the living, thus outmoding by the expiration the initial phase of the first angel's message, the judgment of the dead, what time of truth will, he could have very well said, will we Adventists have for ourselves and for the world? What indeed, if she, the Adventist Church, does not now accept and practice the message of the very present truth? Now I admit that Vicky Olive had present truth, and I admit that he is practicing it to 100% according to his understanding and his efforts. It was 100%. So he said the final phase of the first angel's message, which is presently announcing the stealthy approach of the judgment upon the living, and which is knocking at each heart's door. Now here's the Vicky Hollis says the judgment of living began in 1930. But yet here in 1951, he must have forgot he'd have said that. He must have forgot that he was in the judgment of living. Or he wouldn't have made this statement. President announcing the study approach of the judgment upon the living. Well, he had, in one way, that was true. The first angel was about to close out the judgment of the dead phase. And it's only the first angel. Okay, so I'm saying that the Adventists had the three angels. Yeah, they taught it. But in essence, all they had was the first angel's message instead of the dead. You know why they didn't have the three angels? Because they didn't accept Jones and Wagner's message in 1888. Or they would have taken a hold then of the third angel's message. Okay. Tragically, those who now fail to fill their vessel, Matthew 25:1-4, with the extra oil, the additional truth, that of the judgment of the living. So here's Ricky Hollis writing this tract in 1951 thereabout, and he said, now we're in the general living, y'all. You better come up here and get this oil. This is extra oil. You're going to have it to continue on the journey. Flowing from the golden bowl, Zechariah 4. We'll finally see their lamps flicker out forever like a gutted candle. Oh, and what consternation then will they search for the precious golden oil, and with what infinitely greater anxiety than they now search for the gold and for prestige. But alas, then like Esau, like Willis W. Johnson and typical Esau did, though they seek it carefully with tears, they shall find no place of repentance. Well, Esau is dead, but a few of his descendants are still carrying on, so this is who he's talking about. They purchased their oil too late. Oh, guess what? Daniel Johnson, that was anointed as a pastor to succeed his father, and indeed he is operating in that capacity today in Odessa, Texas, because he is still publishing the creation calendar, and he's carrying on his dad and still publishing his dad's tracts that he wrote. Daniel don't have nothing new that I know of his own, so he's carrying on his dad's work. They purchase their oil too late, but they find out that's not going to be enough to get them there, and so they go back and they say, you know what? That guy that we hated, that we wouldn't let the rule over us, we wouldn't have him rule over us, that Denton Brunton. You know what? We better go check what he's publishing. He may be the one that has this extra oil. And when they find out that we do have it, they're going to say, hey, they're going to come knocking on our door and say, we want this oil. We're ready to receive it now. We'll take it for you. We won't combat you. We won't argue with you anymore. The door is closed when they reach it. Well, you know, Yahweh had me to put a fence up around here, and I'm supposed to lock the gate on all the holy days, but we don't have no threat of anybody coming out here. The gate is open all right, but I've got a lock out there, and if there's any need arises that I feel like that somebody's going to be trying to come here, they'll give us notice ahead of time. I'll lock the gate. And I probably should do it anyway, whether it happens or not. And to their frank knocking at it comes a terrifying reply, I never knew you, Matthew 7:23. Then is the harvest of the first fruits past, the fruits garnered in, and the terrors shut out and unto destruction. There is agony to wail and to gnash the teeth. The harvest is past, the summer is ending, and we are not saved, Jeremiah 20. Well, the time of the judgment is the most solemn positive, or solemn period, when the Yahshua judges his own from among the terrors. Those who have been members of the same family are separated. A mark is placed upon the righteous. Testimonies of Ministers, page 234. The pure ore and the dross will no longer commingle. Testimony of Ministers, page 236. The church is to be fed with the manna from heaven, and to be kept under the sole guardianship of His grace. Clad in the complete armor of light and righteousness, she enters upon her final conflict. The dross, the worthless material, will be consumed, and the influence of the truth testifies unto the world of His sanctifying and ennobling character. Testimony of Ministry 17:18. To safeguard from the corruption his jewels, Malachi 3:17, and making them up, he sits them in a house white and clean, apart from the counterfeit ones. the hypocrites. This he does as the parabolical day draws to his close. Consequently, the 12th hour servants are the first to receive their reward, the penny. I know he says the 11th hour servants, meaning simply that those that were that fifth group of laborers that's called at the end of the 11th hour, 2002, are the first ones to receive their penny because, and you know what? They received their penny before they even worked, the last hour of the harvest. They received their penny at the beginning of that 12th hour. Why? Why they received their penny at the beginning and not the end of the 12th hour? Because they had faithfully worked in the 11th hour. And they were rewarded with when they come to the judgment by virtue of sign and crown for the abomination done there in the 11th hour at Gilead's center, then they got their reward right up front. So, Brother Johnson comes along and he said, look, these people are getting a penny, they're getting their reward, and we bore the heat of the day. What he was saying is, I bore the heat of the day because I didn't recognize Denton Brunken as having any office or being credited with working in the 11th hour with me because I separated myself from him during that time. I appointed my son in his place, Daniel, and his son, Rodney. I appointed them in his place. So they were the ones that worked with me in the 11th hour. The other ones that stayed with me, this here Denton Brunken, he rebelled against me and lifted up his heel against me, and I had to kick him out. And he's standing up at the head of the line doling out the pay for those who had labored in the vineyard during the 11th hour. He would never acknowledge that I was one of them called servants to work in the 11th hour as well. And that's the reason it says the last first, the first last. But when is the last call? They're called at the beginning of the 12th hour, not called at the end of the 11th hour. And so now they've got their penny a day, and now they're commissioned with the everlasting gospel to go forward and set it up now, unhindered and unimpeded, by the 11th hour workers. They're taken out of the way. It's been a judgment for them. And now the 12th hour workers can go and set the everlasting kingdom of David and get on about the business of following the prophecies as they unfold, pointing out the fulfillment of these timely events as they are to unfold in our time, and that's showing where we are in the stream of time as opposed to knowing when the 144,000 are to come forth as the first fruits of the harvest that they are gearing up for. This brings the end of our study. This hour. Contact us at the 11th hour calling us number 11. Click on our audio archives. Hear this message and more. Let us close now with a song. There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. A great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. And the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for the day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by. But this brightness shall only come to them that love the young. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are sad day coming, the sad day coming, the sad day coming by and by. And the sinner shall hear his doom, because I know you not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?